Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, Christian Spicer.
Hey, I need to say you have a wonderful podcast and radio voice.
Thank you.
I was going through a couple episodes preparing for this episode, and I was like, man, I mean, I see you talking to a mic a lot, but there's something different about like a radio voice. And
yeah.
When you're doing a show, sounds real good.
Appreciate that.
Sounds real
Thank
good.
You. It's the dulcet tones.
Yeah, I mean, your stand-up voice, awful. But like for some reason, when you're sitting... No, just kidding.
Here's what I need to do.
It's
I'm going
nice.
To get a veil to cover me anytime I go on stage now.
Yes.
And my first minute of every set will be just me setting up a box.
Yeah, I like that. And just like sit there and be like, hey guys, welcome to another episode of Jay Light Does 12 Minutes. And then you just do a set. And it's just like, you know, nice and chill. Yeah, I like that.
I like it. Yeah. It's a theater of the mind.
Yes.
You've come in today to talk about... a movie that I deliberately did not see.
Okay.
For good reasons, it turns out.
Okay.
That is 2017's The Mummy, starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obvious to me why I don't like this movie, having watched it. What do you have against this movie?
So, spoilers.
Let's spoil away. This movie is spoiled already. It's bad.
It's not great. Also, I want to modify the tagline to this podcast is also great. I just want to modify it. I don't love to hate the movies. I want to love the movies. That's the hard part for me personally. I want to love it.
I'm with you.
And so much of this movie has a lot of things I want to love. I love The Mummy. I love the old classic universal horror version of The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
I love Brendan Fraser. I love The Rock. I love that version of The Mummy. I was even on board through The Scorpion King, right? I love Tom Cruise. I love Russell Crowe. I love shared universes, as silly as they are and as forced as they often are. Jake Johnston.
Jake Johnston's great.
He's great. I love him so much. He was awesome in New Girl. So much of this movie I love. I love dumb, cheesy archaeological movies, all the way from Indiana Jones, not dumb, but to like Tomb Raider, just silly, dumb, fun. You recently did Suicide Squad. Not a good movie, but I liked the dumb archaeology. I love the idea of the person that's like, what is this? I don't know. I better eat it. Or, you know, whatever happens.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You're the top mind in your field, Miss Williams. I am. Now let me stick this rare artifact in my ass or whatever. You know, like whatever they do. I love dumb archaeology. So I was hopeful for this film. For me, spoiling, jumping all the way to the end. The movie has lots of problems. But jumping all the way to the end. The basic conceit of the movie is this ancient evil is unleashed and this witch woman thing is going to bring back the mummy, her husband.
Some sort of evil princess.
Yes. And she with her king or prince, and they're going to rule the world and take everything over. And she finds Tom Cruise as the vessel for her beloved, and she's going to bring him back. And the whole movie, Tom Cruise is like, no, and they're running away and they don't want that to happen. And then the end of the movie, the solve is... Tom Cruise lets it happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of the thing that we were warned about all movie, about how it was going to be the worst thing ever, Tom Cruise, this is my biggest problem with this film and all movies that have things like this. Tom Cruise wills it away. Like he gets taken over by this thing that's supposed to unleash this ultimate evil. And he just goes like, no, I'm mentally strong enough. And
right.
Then he harnesses it for good. And that's the end.
Concentrates very hard, and then everything's cool after that.
Yeah, he meant, and he's not
makes
set up
his eyes go back to normal instead of being split.
Yep.
Which I will say, I do like that as one of the signifiers of you're an evil person, is that your eyes split into multiple spider-like eyes.
Yes, yeah.
I'm
visually,
cool with that.
Visually, I think this movie has a lot of cool effects. The big dust woman mouth or cloud apocalypse woman, you know, when she like consumes the town, it's like the whatever she is.
Yeah.
I think it looks really cool, but just the
Sands of Egypt.
Yeah, just the idea, and they don't set him up as like, Tom Cruise isn't chess champion, he's not, you know, Professor X, or you know what, they don't set him up as like this guy who's like mentally strong and full of fortitude and he's not David Blaine. You know, he's just a dude. He's just a dude.
He's Chris Angel. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. He's a grifter, right? And in the end, he's mentally, he's just like, no. Ah. And that to me, Again, lots of other problems, but to me, that was the nail in the sarcophagus. Are sarcophagi nailed?
I don't think so. I think they're just heavy.
Yeah.
And they get stuck together with gravity.
Apparently, it just takes two people to open them in any movie. Like, Jay, I can't get it. Help me. And then you open it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pull the thing out. And I'm like, whoa. And then I stick it in my butt. That's how archaeology works.
That's classic archaeology.
Classic. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the mummy is, for those of you who don't know and are not familiar with what we're talking about, 2017 American action adventure film. It's a reboot of the Mummy franchise, which started back up in, what, 1999, I think?
Yeah, maybe earlier than that. The Brendan Fraser Rock, before he was Dwayne. Rock. He was just The Rock.
Just The Rock.
Just The Rock, still WWE owned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the first installment in Universal's planned Dark Universe franchise.
Yeah.
Which, side note, this movie did so bad at the box office and critically that they scrapped the entire universe.
Yeah.
I was looking this up just now. They had Jekyll and Hyde planned. Mm-hmm. They had the Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein movies planned. They had the Invisible Man planned.
Mm-hmm.
They had announced a director of Bride of Frankenstein. They were also going to talk about doing more stuff with The Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Phantom of the Opera, and Hunchback of Notre Dame. And
top tier talent.
Top tier.
I mean, this was Tom Cruise, and Jekyll and Hyde was already, because he was already in it. Russell Crowe was in this.
Javier Bardem is the monster. Johnny Depp is the Invisible Man. And then all of a sudden, it all vanished.
Yeah.
In a puff of sands of Egypt. In a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And these films will never see the light of day. Here's the official Universal Pictures statement. After thoughtful consideration, Universal Pictures and director Bill Condon, who has decided to postpone Bride of Frankenstein, none of us wants to move too quickly to meet a release date when we know this special movie needs more time to come out. Bill is a director whose enormous talent has been proven time and time again. We all continue to look forward to continuing to work on this film together. So they officially, now Jason Blum from Blumhouse has said that he wants to fix the Dark Universe, which I think is probably their only chance, because if they continue working with right now, they were spearheaded by Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Kurtzman, famous for directing writing Transformers and a whole bunch of other stuff that's hit or miss. Star Trek hit. Transformers universe, big ol' miss.
Yeah. Financially hit. I mean, he prints money, machine. Which is why I think they pulled him in for this. It's
probably.
Like, hey, we have these characters that are well known, if not beloved. Go print some money with them.
And Chris Morgan wrote a ton of Fast and Furious movies.
Okay.
Again, big franchises, big money makers, enjoyable movie. I liked the last Fast and the Furious movie that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, if you can jump a car from one tall building into another tall building, like, it's going to be a good movie. Fast and the Furious movie, they always have like one scene too where it just like goes into slow motion for whatever reason. It just like shows a girl's butt in a thong. Like, those movies are very dumb. But
right.
Also, they have some redeeming qualities. They're fun enough.
Right. And they've got a nice heart to them.
They try to.
This is my biggest complaint with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this first, and I feel like I should clarify. I've never seen any of the original Mummy franchise. Never seen any of the Brendan Fraser movies. Never seen Dwayne The Rock Johnson when he was just The Rock as the Scorpion King. Never seen a lick of it. I've ridden the ride at Universal Studios.
Okay.
That's the closest I've gotten to anything in the Mummy franchise.
Does that have Brendan Fraser or The Rock in it?
Brendan Fraser is in it.
Nice.
I think The Rock is in it too, actually.
Oh, man, that's great. I need to go.
And it does have one of those sand faces this movie.
I mean, you got to.
Sand face sounds like a slur. Maybe we should stop saying sand face.
See, I was just thinking it'd be the cousin of Clayface, the Batman villain, is what I was like. The sand face he's Sandman. And
right.
They just call him Sand Face. He's like, my whole body is sand. And they're like, shut up, Sand Face.
You got a much more innocent and joyful mind than I do, clearly. my mind is addled with cleaning chemicals right now because I just cleaned my bathroom and kitchen. So I've got a whole bunch of bleach brain going on. Anyway, I digress. This movie feels like it should be directed and guided in sort of a more horror-centric fashion than what the directors and writers chose to do with this movie.
Yes.
They tried to make it too. What's the best word? The thing that I thought the most while watching it was there are way too many cooks in this kitchen.
Sure.
And they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with the movie that they're making. They're trying too many options. And this is not a movie where you can throw a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. I mean, and from the creative team, all very talented, very successful people, this was set up as an action franchise more than a horror franchise, where if you look at, you know, Fast and the Furious and Transformers, those are big, bombastic, blockbuster. You might be 60% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, but who cares, right? Like, not every movie needs to be a 90% fresh. People like to watch dumb movies.
Yeah.
And the Transformer franchise proves that it is time and time again very successful. But this I think it's this idea of shared universing too quickly. I think DC suffered from this a little bit as well. Like, Marvel built to it. You know, the most recent one, not Age of Ultron, that was Avengers 3, whatever its thing.
Infinity War.
Thank you. You know, it was what, like 15, 20 movies in the making? And everybody's trying to jump on that boat and do it quickly. So in this movie, you know, they set up Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They set up all these other characters. They walk into the world. It's like, oh, yeah, we've been studying this for years. And there's all these Easter eggs surrounding in the world, almost the way Marvel did The Collector.
Right.
And it's all this stuff. And it's like, just make a good movie and then layer on top of that. Don't start with everything already existing and then also trying to tell this interesting story about this guy with roguish charm who gets in above his head. Just let it be his adventure.
Right.
And then after that, build on it the way Iron Man 1 could have come out and ended. That could have been it. One great Iron Man movie.
That's all they needed.
That's all they needed, right? You just need to make Iron Man and then build from there.
Now the problem is that the movies, I think, are trying to be made too much like TV. They're trying to serialize it all too much. And it's not the way that you should make – it's not the way that it doesn't serve a franchise well. It doesn't serve audiences well. Clearly, you know, everybody, I think, smelled out that this was not a good way to kick a franchise off. It's just – it just doesn't work. There's so much in this movie. Here's – okay. Tom Cruise does a hell of a job in this movie. He's really trying so hard.
He's charming in everything he does. Like, I get the career arc of Tom Cruise, and not enough people saw Edge of Tomorrow, or how they rebranded it, Live, Die, Repeat. Fantastic movie. Emily Blunt, I believe, is a female lead in that. Mm-hmm. They're making a sequel at home. It's a fantastic film. Tom Cruise is great. He's great. He personally might have issues, but as an actor and making incredible movies, the latest Mission Impossible, phenomenal. I love Tom Cruise. And in this movie, yeah, he's running his 50-year-old butt off. Forever.
Yeah.
You know, he's out there. He's doing it.
I mean, he's getting blown up in a plane. He's fighting naked in a morgue against a mummy.
Yeah.
He's got all kinds of he is acting his ass off in this movie.
Yeah.
And he... and everybody else seems to kind of be phoning it in around him, even except for Jake Johnson, who just feels like the wrong character to be in this movie.
Yeah.
As much as I love him.
Same. And he is, for people that haven't seen the film, he dies in the plane crash and then comes back as this like reanimated thing that maybe only Tom Cruise can see.
It seems like that's the case.
It's like his conscience, but it's also he's bad, but also he's still in there, but he's also like the comic relief. It's an odd character that I don't understand why that person is needed. And I feel like he performs it well. I think, unfortunately, the material he had to perform didn't make sense for this film.
Right. I don't think this movie needed comic relief.
Yeah.
It just didn't.
It needs heart. And it needs a moment of stress release, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Marvel movies, I think, do it so well, where they have, you know, Spider-Man say a funny line as he's going and taking down Ant-Man as he's grown, right? Or they have moments of like, oh, that's cute, and you smile and laugh, because you can't be too serious all the time. Even a horror movie will have something to break the tension, where you're like the new Halloween, which was great, you know, has moments with the people interacting where you get to let off steam before a jump scare.
Right.
But the way this movie went for it, it was almost like, okay, Shaun of the Dead is a good movie.
Yes.
Like, let's put that in it. And it's like, that's a very different movie. It's just a very different movie.
It just it feels like there was too much grafted together to try and make this work. This is one of those movies where there's certainly a good movie inside it somewhere.
Sure.
But they layered it on top with all this other stuff that they didn't need.
Yeah, the good movie is the classic story, right? I mean, it is The Mummy. There's a reason why The Mummy and the idea of mummies has been around since forever. And then the Universal original version, 1920, whenever it was, 1930s. Version of this thing. It's terrifying. It's really cool and interesting, and especially someone stumbling into something that comes back to life and then is cursed and attached to you and you can't shake it. It's something like It Follows did really well when that film came out. The idea of something following you and no matter what you do, you can't escape it. Your demise is inevitable. And then also making it this big bombastic action film with these huge set pieces is stuff that American audiences have seen, have shown time and time again to enjoy. So this idea works. The idea, the way they put it together, unfortunately, it falls flat. And it's a shame because, like I said, I like so much of the pieces about it. A shared universe done well, all the actors, the idea of that these universal monsters do live in a shared world, I think could be something really special. But it's hard. This is my question to you, Jay. Having been involved in many projects that have made it to TV, I've been involved in a few that have and many more that didn't. and some got very close and then they didn't. And now this shared universe is gone for now.
Yes.
But why did it take the movie coming out for them to realize it, right? Like how many other shared universe projects almost got to the movies or almost got to TV? Like, I'm so fascinated by that idea of like, did this movie have too much star power or money behind it? Or do people say, yeah, this doesn't seem good, but Transformers 8 did well. You know, like, let's throw it on the wall and see. Because Hollywood is not afraid. They don't say no. They just say, we'll get back to you, and then you never hear.
Yeah, and you're stuck in development hell.
Right. But they're not afraid to not, bang the table, to not put something on TV, or to not put something in a movie theater. So why do you think this thing made it two screens with a pretty large marketing budget behind it before they pulled the plug on the Universal Horror Shared Universe?
What my guess is, and this, again, as someone who hasn't seen the original Mummies, I think it's based off of the strength of that. Because everybody seemed to love the original Mummy franchise.
Yeah.
You know, and you put Tom Cruise in.
To be fair, not the original.
The original is not – well, the 90s one.
Yes.
That's the one I'm referencing.
Got it.
The original, the original for 90s kids will remember this.
The Rugrats generation.
The people who have a Tumblr account.
Right. Got it.
This is their version. But yeah, so I think that based off of the strength of that and how beloved that franchise became, that iteration of the franchise became, they thought, you know what? This is our way in. This is our crowbar into getting people to get their way into our universe from here on out. And I think that it was not the worst idea.
Sure.
I think theoretically you're spot on. This has star power. This has the form and shape of something that could be good. It's got sort of, because you know what? I don't mind some of the big action-y set pieces in this movie either. I think that you can have that work well in a horror sort of tone. And one of my favorite actual scenes in the movie was when they're escaping the church.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise and whatever the British archaeologist chick who, by just a side note, don't believe anything about the romance. I don't buy a lick of it.
I screwed you over and then slept with you in a hotel just to game you to get this thing so I could unlock this thing. But also in the process, I actually did fall in love with you. No,
over
you didn't.
Over the course of maybe 3 days.
Right, yeah.
I have no idea how long it's been.
No, yeah. This is a failed romance for sure.
I think that the scene where they're driving away from the church and then he is drawn back to the church and does not realize it. And then they have this whole other chase scene after that. I think that that's really good. And I think it plays... It's got a little bit of horror tropiness in there, with your, you know, losing control of your body and you're facing this evil, and then all of a sudden you're also like barreling down a hill in a car that's rolling sideways. I think that that's really cool. I think stuff like that kind of works. But there's so much of this. You don't need comic relief. You don't need romance. You don't need to have really any of the shared universe stuff in this one at all, because it lends itself to people acting unrealistically.
Right.
That's the thing that bugged me the most. Even, you know, Tom Cruise doing his best. We've covered that a bunch. But even he falls into this trap that so many of the other actors in this movie fell into of acting like people who are not real people.
Hmm.
There's no grounding to the way that a lot of people's actions are in this movie.
Sure.
I think luckily for Tom Cruise, that only plays off in the romance. But
yeah, I mean, I think there's I always try to detach myself. Like, this is a dumb movie, right?
Yes.
And I mean that in the best way possible. I think my comedy I would often describe as dumb. Like, I get silly on stage. I like that. Yeah. I like
and
dumb.
There's nothing wrong with dumb.
Right. Not everything needs to be Moonlight. Fantastic film. Doesn't need to be that, right?
Right.
Like, we can have this. But I think when I start going down the path of, like, following a path to realism, like, if I'm Tom Cruise and, like, I guess a current military person who's stealing artifacts on the side and selling them on the black or whatever. Like, that's my life.
He's so deep in the military that he also doesn't have to wear military fatigues.
No, doesn't have to do anything. He can just leave, like, boss, we're going over here. They won't notice. Call us an airstrike. And then they get it. Tons of problems. when he finds out about this whole horror universe and he walks into Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's lab, whatever his name is, Russell Crowe. I guess he's Dr. Jekyll.
He's Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah, when they're walking to Dr. Jekyll's lab, and it's this huge thing with all of this stuff, and this reality exists. At no point does Tom Cruise go, "Oh crap! Wow, I'm going to need a set." You know, he's just like, "Yeah, this all makes sense." Like,
That's a creature from the Black Lagoon's hand.
Yeah,
okay, cool. I know what that is.
Yeah, we're a secret agent, and we've been doing this for millennia, trying to stop these evils. You just need to trust. You need to trust us. No, okay, cool.
Run. A giant pool of mercury under the ground.
Yeah,
that makes so much sense.
Right.
Cool. I know exactly what this is.
Right. You need a moment for the regular Joe to be like to take that in. Right. Like, maybe not. Maybe not after the day he had, but. That's why I try not to let myself go down that path, because when you do, everything falls apart.
Even not necessarily even on that front either is what bothered me. Here's what really got me to the point where I had to stand up from the couch, and I was just blown away by how dumb of a decision this was. When they're in the lab and they've got the mummy chained up,
yeah,
and she starts all of a sudden to summon a scarab.
Yeah, of course.
To just come out of the ground.
That's where they live.
Totally normal.
Makes sense.
And it crawls into a guy's ear.
Yeah.
It gets completely up his back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Onto his bare neck.
Yeah.
And into his ear before he slaps it away.
Yeah.
And doesn't even slap it away. He's just like, oh, something went to my ear.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is normal in this lab. How?
Clearly, you've never had the sweet caress of a scarab climb up your back before. There's nothing sweeter than a scarab climb, and you might feel it, but you don't want it to stop. Actually, it was just in Vegas, and I got a 90-minute scarab massage.
Oh, nice.
It's real good.
That's the beauty of the Luxor.
Yeah, you just sit there, and then you don't know what's happening. Then you brush your ear, and then 90 minutes later, you feel rested, you know?
Yeah. So. And then you take an axe to the electrical box in the massage parlor,
yeah.
And then everything catches on fire.
As you would.
And you do it.
That's what, yes.
There's so much, but stuff like even little moments like that just throw me out completely. Because I think there's a way in fantastical universes that you can still have some semblance of grounded reaction to things.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Tom Cruise taking a minute to take it all in. You can get by without that. I'm sure that that's probably stuff that would happen off camera anyway.
Sure.
Is him being like, having a panic attack. Somebody needs to bring him a paper bag while he comes to grips with what's going on.
Yeah.
But you need to at least have people making decisions that sort of track with, this is, if you're a trained person in a lab where you're working with evil shit constantly,
yeah,
you're going to be on edge.
No, not for the sweet caress of a scarab, Jay. You don't understand. You're on edge for a lot of things, but scarab is a franchise that does this really well, what we're talking about, the Harry Potter books and films.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, they built this fantastical universe, but they have moments where all of these characters react to it in a very real way. When they go out into the woods and they see, is it a Pegasus? My Harry Potter knowledge isn't as
in
deep
the
as
very,
some.
I think the first movie, right?
Yeah, in the first
they
book.
See the Pegasus.
And it's like, oh, and like they
or a hippogriff, something
yes,
with wings.
Yes, and they react to it and they have a moment. And Harry's kind of your window into this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the reader or viewer, he's the one taking you into it. But even Ron, whose family has been in this world forever, still has moments of like, whoa, and like seeing things and witnessing them. And the first time, pretty much all of these major events happen that have happened to these students throughout the course of their academic career, there's these moments of like, I can't believe what's happening right now.
Right.
Let's take this in and let's build it into this larger world and universe. And I think so many movies look to the Marvel universe as the blueprint of how to do The blueprint is where scarabs live under the earth. The blueprint for how to do this. But I think a lot could be learned from, one of the most successful books and film franchises of all time.
Yeah.
And Harry Potter and how they built that world.
They still have a movie. They just had a movie come out in the Harry Potter universe this weekend.
Yep.
Here's how far down the Harry Potter universe has gone in terms of ability to keep a franchise going. I am a big Harry Potter fan, and I have had no desire to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them or Crimes of Grindelwald?
Grindelwald. The new Fantastic Beasts film, yeah.
I haven't had any desire to see any of those, and I'm like, cool, you guys are going to make tons of money. Good for you. You kept the franchise alive. That's great. But it just doesn't seem like I've passed my fandom.
Sure.
It's gone.
Well, that's almost a different – to me, that's a little different issue because I feel like the core Harry Potter books and films I think were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think how they chose to expand their universe is not the way I would have done it. Clearly, it's successful and people love them. But I think the prequel idea is full of problems. And I think Star Wars showed us, you know, some of the pitfalls that can run into where it's like Obi-Wan said when he met Anakin, you know, Luke's father for the first time, he was a great pilot. He actually meets him and he's just doing these pod races, inconsistencies. He builds C-3PO. Like, you have all this room for error when you're going back in time to make sure that you don't contradict anything you've already said that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Harry Potter universe, the way that they're now telling stories before Harry instead of just telling other stories in the world of Harry Potter, I think are infinitely more entertaining. Same with Solo, the Star Wars story. I think that movie would have been fantastic if it was just like Jay Light. Just a dude. You're just a dude in the universe. And like, yeah. Let's see how that's – I don't want to know like, oh, there's the keys. Wink. Those are important later. You know, like there's those dice. Wink. That's important later.
Right.
Just tell a cool story. And I think Harry Potter – could have blown out their world that way also because the world is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell a story.
Well, that's what I like about, theoretically, as someone who also has not seen this yet, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Yeah.
Which doesn't do the prequel thing. It follows the natural flow of time and shows Harry and company as adults and also starts a new story involving their kids, which makes logical sense. You know, it doesn't have to go back and start dropping things for people to pick up on and be like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
I remember this wand is the thing.
Yeah.
This guy is playing this person who will be important later on. I don't care about any of that stuff. You ever hear, you know Patton Oswalt's bit about the Star Wars prequels? You ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's great because he's I don't care about how the things I like became the things I like. That's the whole point of it.
Right.
And I identify with that so much. I don't need prequels. I don't need – this feels like – you know what? The problem with The Mummy is it feels like a prequel to a franchise that does not need to exist. And thankfully, it doesn't look like ever will exist.
Yeah, that's closing the circle of our rambling conversation, right? The Mummy, instead of just being a cool story to tell, it was a setup for all of these other stories it wants to tell while also trying to do this thing. Instead of just existing in the world with Tom Cruise being charming as all get out, running around and doing whatever Tom Cruise do, I think you could have made any Mission Impossible movie could have been The Mummy. Just put something supernatural in it. And it's like, oh, and now instead of chasing down the Secret Order or whatever it is, we're tracing down The Mummy. Like the blueprint for Tom Cruise doing awesome stuff is every Tom Cruise movie. And I think had they followed that formula with this, you could have had a really, really cool, fun romp through the supernatural with Tom Cruise, and then later built on the success of that instead of trying to build your penthouse before you laid your foundation.
Right. Now let me ask you this. I got two questions left for you, Christian. One, as someone who has seen the Brendan Fraser Mummy franchise all the way through the Scorpion King films, what does that franchise do that makes it work that this one tried to start and failed miserably at?
It's a B movie from go. Those movies are, and I haven't seen them in a while, but they are cheesy and fun. And Brendan Fraser, not literally, but like, will wink at the camera and be like, oh, I can't believe this is again, wink. And like, they have fun with themselves and they bring the audience in that world. So it's not, oh, Brendan Fraser, I'm making this up. I don't think this happens, but it could. He's like skateboarding on the door of a 1920s car through London, you know, or whatever it is. Like, there's just stuff that's silly.
That sounds great.
It's just, and it owns it so well. And Brendan Fraser plays that character really well, is that lovable, you know, handsome, charming, but how did I get into this mess kind of character? And the fact that it didn't take itself seriously, whereas this film does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde being the head of the secret group that studies these things, and no one else was like, I know this guy takes his shot and he's okay, but like, maybe he shouldn't be the head of all this. Like,
yeah, maybe.
We got a loose cannon over here. But it takes itself so seriously, so self-serious, that it doesn't let it have any fun. And yeah, those other ones are just fun.
Yeah. You can't have a movie that feels serious the way that the Tom Cruise Mummy feels and have lines where the only way you kill the villain is by throwing in a "it's not you, it's me" quote.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work.
But delivered seriously,
delivered
too.
So seriously,
not delivered like that kind of thing. It's right. Like this is a thing I'd say in this moment. Like,
he's got the gravelly voice and everything. It just feels so out of place.
Yep.
Now I feel like I got to see these original, these 1999s and then on.
I don't know if I saw the return of the Scorpion. I think there's a direct to home video.
Oh, there's Scorpion three direct to video Scorpion Kings.
Okay, I only saw the theatrical.
Shout out to my buddy Evan Williams, who has been a guest on this podcast before, but he had something from, I think, the Scorpion King 4 on his Instagram the other day, where it's just the terrible CGI version of The Rock with scorpion legs.
Nice.
Seemed pretty fun to watch the rest of those movies.
I imagine the VFX from the first one, like the first Brendan Fraser, I imagine they don't hold up. I imagine the VFX are pretty poor, but go into it and just have a fun romp, and I bet you'll be hard-pressed to not enjoy the first film.
So besides those original... I keep saying original.
That's okay.
And you know what I mean,
guys.
Knows what I mean. Besides those, is there another movie that you would recommend people watch instead of the 2017 The Mummy?
It goes along the same thing as those original, the very, very first. There were never a mummy movie before that. Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
I've heard that seemed like a lot of fun. It's fun.
It's really fun. It's out to rent now or purchase if you're a baller. It doesn't take itself seriously. It winked at the camera in all the right ways. It's playful with characters that can be playful, and it's fun for adults and kids. Fun for adults and kids. It's really sharply written, and it does everything right that type of film should do. It's great.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check that out, and you guys should check that out too. And you know what else you should check out is our my guest Christian's work on the internet. Where can the listeners find you?
Twitter would be the easiest place, at Spicer. When is this? Is this coming out relatively soon?
Yeah, this will be out on, Friday.
It's out when you're listening to it. If you want, I made a t-shirt. It's, you know, like those Ninja Turtle ice cream pops?
Yeah.
It's like bubblegum eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I have one like that, but it looks like a Super Nintendo controller.
Ooh.
And if you go to cottonbureau.com and search for Play Games Be Nice, you can pick one up, and all of the proceeds go to St. Jude. So it helps sick kids. Cure cancer. And it's a really cool shirt. They brought it back. It was out originally as the summer, which is why it's this popsicle thing. Really cool shirt. I love Cotton Bureau. They make nice shirts. I should have worn it. But go to cottonbureau.com, search for Play Games Be Nice, pick up a shirt, and help kids fight cancer.
Right on.
Yeah.
You can find me on the internet at DietJ on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates. I will be in New Orleans and Dallas in December, so check the website for those. I'm still getting the dates locked down.
Do not shove anything in your butt that you might discover in a crypt in New Orleans.
I don't plan on
okay.
it.
Or eat it or drink it or anything. Don't go into a crypt. Don't go into a graveyard in New Orleans and push something open. Ask someone for help. Push it, and then whatever you find, don't use it.
Unless I want to have some adventures with a wacky modern voodoo spellstress.
Okay, do it. Use it.
Sorceress. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
This has been Blockbusting, guys. Go see something good for a change.